Alright, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Hentai Corner. Well, spooky Hentai Corner. Well, I mean, we normally do maggot baits, but yeah, we're back with more maggot baits, of course, because we want to go full degeneracy before next week when we just take everything back a notch. We're gonna, you know, of course, we'll go in the comics in November, but after that, we're gonna go with light remasters. A bunch of remastered classic stuff we wanna go through. Nothing hardcore. We will still do discipline, but nothing really hardcore, nothing really crazy over the top torture, nothing like that. We're gonna do that for a month of just kind of cleansing. And then after that, December, we're gonna go full hardcore. But, you know, we've had all the torture and craziness, and we just kind of want to calm that for a little bit. And then we'll go back to the torture and craziness in December. But go ahead and give us November, where we're just kind of enjoy some classic novels and classic writing. And then we'll get into the hardcore stuff again. But all right, let's go ahead and get started, because we've got a whole week of hardcore shit, so get ready. His muffled, deep chuckles echoed quietly. Eventually, it grew into loud, bursting laughter. Did you see that? Look at me. I'm at a ripe old age and full of regrets, that's who I am. He collected his breath after booming, stomach-shaking laughter and suddenly looked down at the meat at his feet. The meat at his feet, huh? The creature was brutally torn apart, but it was still faintly endeavoring to regenerate. Perhaps he might have even felt a fickle compassion for the sinful nature of witches. He then crouched down before it. I know how you feel. Carol's pomegranate eyes were empty and unfocused. Still, Shimon savored his own statement, peering into the light deep beneath them. Behind them. Well, you know, same. We're both okay with this treatment. We don't need any reward. We just want to prove to ourselves how madly in love we are. So listen, even if it's useless, I'm going all out. At this point, it's down to who will win, you or me. With renewed resolve, the flames of Shimon's sadism began to blaze within him once more, just as he rose to get back to work on torture. Footsteps finally echoed quietly. Footsteps? Finally? Really? Okay. Oh, I think I know what they're talking about, guys. Footsteps finally echoed quietly through the top floor of this den of thieves. The shadow of the visitor stepped out from the faint darkness, revealing the huge figure of the man who climbed all 55 floors of this building, Tsunaga Shogo. It's a long ass, well, not really, with an elevator, yeah, but the gunshot wound to his abdomen continued to ooze blood beneath his frayed field coat. But even with wounds all over his body, the shade of death was absent from his figure. On the contrary, he gave off an air of vitality that surpassed that of regular humans. For those of you who were wondering what I was trying to figure out there, I was saying, you know, with an elevator, yeah, 55 floors is nothing. But if you're climbing floor to floor and going through all the crazy shit to get to floor 55, yeah, that's a long fucking way. His gaze was focused directly forward on his foe, Shimon, but his deep, clear eyes weren't brimming with any hostile emotions. Dangling from his head were six severed heads tied together by their hair. He had added his former comrades, Gloria and Allison, to the collection. Well, bub, you've turned into quite the goddamn monster. What happened to you on your way here? Shimon recognized his transformation at a glance. He now bore the true nature of a nihilistic murderer. He was completely different from the first time they squared off. I get it now. No wonder this bitch here's been so steadfast. Your world doesn't need anyone. Not a single person. Senga's outline grew more vague the more he peered at it, as if the man's very existence were disappearing. Faced with this man turned into a living ghost, Shimon drew a stainless model Pietro Beretta M92FS from his pocket. He pointed the gun at the man and pulled the trigger without question. Gunshots exploded alongside the successive blowback, but the three preemptive shots he fired all gouged the wall in vain. For some reason, Shimon couldn't set his sights on Tsunaga. It was like something was leading to errors in his human perception. Having reached his current mentality, Tsunaga's irregular presence was expressing itself as some kind of mysterious anti-personal phenomenon. He was there, but it felt like he wasn't. That gap in vision and perception transformed Tsunaga into a great ghost untrackable by his foe. At the very least, he wouldn't be able to hit with his skill alone. Giving up on the Beretta, Shimon cast it aside without hesitation and activated the maggot cells within his body all at once. Countless tentacles extended from the sleeves and legs of his suit, crawling over the floor. They formed an evil barrier, crawling over a dozen meters around Shimon. It was a saturation attack designed to envelop the whole space along with his enemy. If he couldn't target the man normally, he'd just catch him in the range of the attack. He felt a response. The extending web of soft tentacles captured hold of one of Tsunaga's legs. From there, the reaction was swift. Immediately, the countless tendrils spreading around him crawled up Tsunaga's body to his torso and seized him. Tsunaga's body creaked. The bindings could easily break human bones, assailing him with the pressure of the deep sea. The cracking of his ribs echoed mercilessly. A choke filled with blood was wrung out from Tsunaga's mouth. The shadow of death darkened his face like a memory returned. No matter how much willpower he mustered, his body was past its limits. Farewell, man. You had me sweating good there. With that exaggeration, Shimon activated the Gospel of Judas assimilated into his body. His skin peeled up like the turning pages of an old tome, revealing letters of the Greek alphabet. The power recorded there in the forbidden word of God's betrayer was unleashed upon the physical world. The principles within could reject and overturn the very foundation of all creation, and now that was directed at one lone man, Tsunaga. The evil relic possessed the power to banish demons summoned from a higher dimension and kick aside God's might, the absolute authority of the world. Even at 1/1,000,000,000th of its power, none could escape its touch unscathed. The might of creation's fall was unleashed with Shimon's hostility enveloping Tsunaga. What? But nothing happened. Tsunaga's tall figure stood there as healthy as before. The fuck? Shimon's eyes widened in unprecedented shock. He caught sight of Tsunaga with his right arm quietly raised. The man had taken advantage of a gap in the loosened bindings to point his Sig Sauer P226 at him. Yeah, just fucking shoot him with a gun! He's got tentacles and the Gospel of Judas. I'm just gonna fucking shoot him! Damn, Tsunaga! Just past the dull glint of the gun's sight, he saw empty eyes that reflected nothing. How did you... Had he placed himself outside the reach of Judas's gospel, outside the founding principles of creation which it rejected and brought down? Shimon was left speechless. Blah, blah. Let's try that again. Had he placed himself outside the reach of Judas's gospel, outside the founding principles of creation which it rejected and brought down? Shimon was left speechless. The standing figure of Tsunaga Shogo attested to the isolation of his no man's land, his world devoid of others. Subsequently, gunfire roared with a crimson muzzle flash. The standard effective range of a pistol was about 20 meters, the distance currently separating them. Plus, with Tsunaga's thorough rage training for the SAT, there was no way to escape his sights. But Shimon paid it no mind. Even the witches created with a fragment of the gospel's power couldn't land a physical blow. No weapon in this world could kill him while he possessed that power of creation. Not even the Inquisitor's trump card, the bullets made from holy nails. Which was all the more reason Shimon suffered from a second miracle when pain and blood erupted from his gut as the bullet hit! It was the same pain and shock he would have felt in a normal body. The gospel's protection hadn't kicked in. Worse, The power of the holy nail bullets was causing the maggot cells within his body to perish. His sword of tentacles writhed and flailed madly, raining blows down indiscriminately on their host as well. He says, "Yeah, damn it, I bet you did." Shimon shouted as the intense pain of his body being devoured forced him to begin ripping the maggot tentacles from his own flesh. He ignored the further pain and blood flow, trying to continue the maddening battle against himself. The bullet that pierced his absolute protection had been fired from beyond the horizon of this world. From the bank of the invisible world occupied solely by Tsunade Shogo, where both Jesus and Judas lost all meaning. A drop of the sudden shower of fresh blood landed on Carol's cheek and trailed down. Her severed conscience began to revive. Her distant, blurry, hazy vision caught the repulsive sight of Shimon writhing in agony and covered in blood, as well as... Tsunade Shogo was there wielding a Sig Sauer. The moment she recognized we know what kind of gun he has. They have to say that like every time. She recognized him. Carol felt her chest filling with relief in contrast to the hellish state of her body. Thank goodness you're alive. Though he bore deep wounds, he was still alive before her. Sacrificing himself and staying alive all this time had been worth it, and ultimately allowed him to be here, fulfilling his long-held desire. Carol couldn't help but feel deep relief. It was the one worry that kept lingering in her heart as she was raped, burned, and had her genitals destroyed. Now Carol's heart was satisfied and free. She was fulfilled, having obtained proof that her life had served to protect the man who always occupied the center of her world like a precious god. There was no one else in his world, though. Even if Shimon was shocked by that fact now, that was an obvious truth that Carol already knew. The Witch Carol was just a weapon, a tool for Tsunade Shogo to use in fulfilling his objective. She was happy with that and never tried to ask for more. Not if it meant she could be close to the world where he cast aside the future for the past. For that, she would become his blade, his bullet, or anything he desired. That self-perception had granted Carol absolute strength. Without it, it would have been impossible for her ego to withstand such torture. She already grieved for herself long ago, casting herself into the darkness of despair. Even if that had been a means of escaping a different feeling she held, she didn't care if it meant being at Tsunade Shogo's side. It was easy to put her uncertain feelings to rest. Now their journey would soon be over. The moment his tenacity bore fruit was upon them. Shimon could only clumsily run as Shogo's merciless fire rained down on him. Their battle was practically settled already. However, and for the first time ever, Carol thought about more than the present. What would happen to Tsunade after it was all over? The man had cast his entire future into the fire so he could right the past. So how was he supposed to live tomorrow? How was she supposed to live tomorrow with her duty as his weapon over? I want. Carol peered into herself to find the answer. But she couldn't observe anything. She turned her vague thoughts to the future as she gazed at the deathmatch between those two men. As a witch, she was bound to the city, incapable of leaving. If Tsunade decides to leave Pandemonium, it will become physically impossible for her to remain at his side. But once this fight is over, she will lose her role as his weapon. In that case, the answer is simple, she concluded. If that is how it must be, then... I want to die by his hands. As she muttered those words, her pomegranate eyes filled with peace. The Sig Sauer in Tsunade's right hand rang out with a second dry burst. The muzzle remained ever level, its powerful grip and iron sights preventing even slight muzzle jump. The firing pin swung like a pendulum as he pulled the trigger, hitting the primer at the base of the cartridge and igniting the priming compound with a spark and impact. The gunpowder in the cartridge lit up. The explosive gas filled the chamber in an instant, pressure forcing the loaded 8-gram bullet to fire out at 350 meters per second. The rifling carved into the barrel added moment of force to preserve the ballistic path, launching it from the muzzle to deal fitting destruction, as mechanically as the shooter firing it. Shimon ran around, clutching his shot stomach. Suddenly he felt an impact, as if he'd hit an invisible wall. Its whole body stiffened and then collapsed. The second shot it hit. The bullet penetrated painfully into his back, great amounts of red blood spraying out. This was the second holy nail bullet fired into him. However, Shimon was still breathing. Both of his hands scraped against the floor, trying to drag himself as far away from Tsunaga as they could. The moment was crude and awkward, like an insect missing several jointed appendages. Oh yeah. The tentacles of his body continued wriggling, refusing to die as they issued their final movements. Most of them continued to gnaw at their host Shimon's flesh, keeping him under their control with several thick, long tendrils. Satisfied their host couldn't escape, they dragged him forward. Though his willpower was proving immeasurable, Shimon's expression was already as white as paper. A great number of blood-red ruts deep in his creeping stomach stained the floor beneath him. Tsunaga's Sig Sauer loaded the last holy nail into the chamber. This one was the last of his trump cards against evil magic, entrusted to him by Valentinos. Tsunaga pointed the muzzle at Shimon's fleeing back to deliver the final blow. Shimon raised a cry halfway between a scream and a threat as he clumsily rolled over the floor. It was a childish struggle meant to throw off his aim even slightly. His three tendrils snapped like whips, instantly hardening, swelling, and firing out like a lance. His desperate protest could never capture Tsunaga. It was impossible for anyone to face the invisible murderer who severed all ties with creation. Shimon flailed about in pain as he struggled, his tentacles trying repeatedly to stab Tsunaga. However, it was impossible for him to grow and move enough to create that same saturation. Penning with despair, Shimon instinctually tried to slip behind cover and hide himself. That was the moment that happened. Though he couldn't perceive him before, Tsunaga's outline was suddenly clear in Shimon's vision. The muzzle remained pointed at him, Tsunaga's fingers somehow frozen in place of the trigger. Though it only lasted a few seconds, it was enough of a delay to create an opening. Almost half by reflex, Shimon sharpened the tip of a tentacle into a lance and hurled it forth. Was it a trick of his eyes? If not, it had to be a trap. But Shimon no longer had the luxury of willpower left to scrutinize it. Then, almost like a joke, the hardened flesh spear skewered Tsunaga's chest. The tip of the twined tendrils penetrated through his chest and out the back. It was piercing him right through the lungs, right where the lungs, heart, and other vital organs rested. It was clear to anyone looking that the wound was fatal. Nothing could save him. Shimon's tentacle retreated from the wound. At the same time, a huge spray of blood erupted out of Tsunaga's mouth. His nearly 100-pound frame heavily shook as he lost his core. Carol's consciousness blanked, suddenly numb. The reality before was too hard to believe, and her instincts forced her brain to stop processing to protect her ego. Her retina still continued to function as an accurate camera, though. Tsunaga Shogo collapsed into a puddle on the floor. It reminded her of the picture she saw in one of Wilma's books showing a soldier collapsing from a gunshot wound. The portrait taken by the famous battlefield cameraman was a colorless black and white, but the scene before her eyes was a bright, vivid red, the color of Tsunaga Shogo's life. Carol's consciousness was blotted out by that color. In her mind, she ruminated on the last several seconds while trapped in that intensively red world, almost as if she were rejecting the advance of reality. In that moment, when Tsunaga trained his muzzle on Shimon, Shimon desperately crawled behind Carol's collapsed figure. Shimon was half dead and likely didn't even realize it was Carol's body he hid behind. Even if he had identified her, it was doubtful he'd have thought of using her as a shield, because he knew the man trying to kill him wasn't the type to fall for such ideas. He was a transparent murderer who cast aside all others for his obsession and goal, even falling into his own world. Tsunaga's bullet should have shot right through her without any reason to hesitate. He would have ignored Carol and shot judgment into Shimon, bringing it all into an end. Despite all that, in that one instant, Tsunaga's fingers froze on the trigger. Worse yet, his existence was ejected from his transparent domain and exposed to the world. Almost as if some kind of error had occurred in his mind that didn't value or trust anyone in this world. Shimon's eyes probably only caught sight of his target suddenly manifesting at a standstill. But now it was all too late to be undone. The weight of that objective reality broke her eternally looping thoughts. A beastly howl erupted from Carol's throat. The scream rising from within her was driven by the momentum of her endless fall. With her cry, she wished for herself and the entire world to be reduced to smithereens. Before that, though, she had one task to do. She executed it without hesitation as her endless scream continued. Her task was to kill the man who was meant to die in Sunaga's stead. Her delicate hands grasped the neck of Shimon. Her hands crushed Shimon's throat, straining and breaking his vertebrae. Without her magic power, her thin arms should have been powerless, but with her desperate strength, his shocked face tinged dark red. His vertebrae broke with a strange sound. His eggplant-colored tongue hung out as he collapsed sideways, as his head collapsed sideways, body convulsing with death as he shat and pissed himself. She cast his corpse aside like a doll and crawled her way to where Sunaga lay collapsed, crying all the while like a newborn baby. The young girl's wails echoed beyond Shimon's suddenly fading world. Only empty darkness awaited as he sank, but that wasn't much different from where he was now. He didn't fear the fall. He just... That's not fair at all. Those last tear-jerking emotions towards Carol lingered at the end. And here I thought you were the same as me. He was dying, his hope to be rewarded unfulfilled, never given a deep look by the one he wanted to see him. He had resolved himself to that, so why did he feel so mortified and betrayed? Only you got rewarded at the very end of it all. That was it. That was what the events of that moment meant. Sunaga Shogo hesitated to pull the trigger on the final shot, so he wouldn't kill Carol, even though the price of that hesitation was his own life. How could that end be anything but a reward for Carol's dedicated devotion? But that only made his own left-behind state all the more miserable. His one salvation was that he wouldn't have to watch this disgusting happy end. His eyes no longer saw, and even his ears no longer heard. Damn it. I'm jealous. Hope she at least takes great care of that fortune and keeps it close as she lives on. That was the final thought in his mind as it faded away into nothingness. Shimon met the end of his life without knowing if he was smiling or lamenting. Shimon wasn't the only one to think on the reason in his final moments. Sunaga Shogo himself turned his fading consciousness towards that baffling mystery confronting him. Ooh, excuse me, guys. He thought about the moment Shimon crawled behind Carol and used her as a shield from his sights. Something had changed within him for certain without any warning signs either. That impulse wasn't external. It came from deep within his body. He peeled back the many layers of rust to peer at the true base steel beneath. His index finger hung on the trigger, cursed by an absolute physical force. As his thoughts reached that point, several memories came bubbling up to him. The images, words, and smells played back vividly, like the flow of a river just undammed. It was his past that shouldn't have been reduced to ash 7 years ago. It was his core values as a human, carved deep into his body and mind with pride and conviction. The days he spent thoroughly training himself to strictly distinguish between who to shoot and who to protect in extreme situations. I see. Sunaga's dying expression became one he buried forever long ago, a smile. Incomparable joy and happiness filled the void in his chest. It was still there. It still stayed with me. It came from Sunaga's early impulse as a human. In a world where good, evil, and chaos were indefinite, he held a spell in his small fist to carry out his justice. Through that, he found his way to becoming a protector of the law. Even though he thought that spirit was burned away and reduced to ash in the hell that he faced back then, it still controlled Sunaga's body even after he'd fallen so far. Carol's presence had summoned that spirit back in his final hour. Though it ultimately resulted in Sunaga losing his life, there was no way he could feel regret towards it. The man he used to be still lived, and it couldn't forgive the man he'd become. He savored the sheer joy of that fact. In his final moments, he managed to regain something irreplaceable. As his vision grew hazy and foggy, he made out the face of a sobbing young girl. His turbaned mind wasn't able to recall whose face that was, but he reached his hand out to wipe away her tears, smiling and filled solely with the desire to end her lament and sadness. Thank you.
he tried to say, wringing out what meager air remained in his lungs, to the unknown girl who managed to revive his humanity at the end. He couldn't tell if the sounds coming from his mouth formed words, or even if the air managed to reach his vocal cords. However, it seemed to him that the girl forgot to cry for a moment. Satisfied, Tsunade resigned his body to its plunge into darkness. He could head on to the world where his friends awaited, having earned their freedom a little earlier. All while savoring the pride of managing to protect someone's life at the very end. Tsunade Shogo's dying lips moved faintly as Carol watched on. Thank you. Those words caused Carol to forget all her sadness for a moment. Then with a smile clearly on his face, Tsunade passed on with those as his final words. Through those words and that smile, Carol couldn't help but understand Tsunade's true sentiments. Without a doubt, he failed to fire the final bullet in that moment to protect her. He lost his life for that. Carol had vowed to become a tool for Tsunade, and devoted herself to him, so that was hardly a reward for her. Why? When she recovered from her stupor, Carol voiced a reaction to that absurdity. Why would you do? But the consequences made the answer to her question clear. Nothing could change that cruel, inescapable truth. Tsunade died defending her, the woman who should have been his tool. When Carol recognized that, a huge void opened up within her, a void that led to endless darkness, a rent in her soul that swallowed all light and hope. The vast, overwhelming sense of loss eroded Carol's mind. I had given up on it. She was a tool. She was a weapon. She was resolved to long for nothing more than that in order to stay with the man who needed no other. She had shut out every other way of life, just as her partner had. She believed that by doing so, she would gain the same strength he possessed. But now she understood that was because she feared this very moment, the inevitable moment when she had to part ways with Tsunade Shogo. That was why she subconsciously behaved in ways that hid her emotions for Tsunade from herself and others. Back when Serica had asked her about them, she thought she answered truthfully from her heart. But that was only Carol's defense mechanism. She believed that she could avoid the pain of parting if she never crossed that line between tool and wielder. So, I never needed that kindness. Carol rang out a wail, shouting at the speechless corpse like she was coughing up blood. If I was fine as your, I was fine as your tool, I was fine as your weapon, I was fine with living and dying for your sake. So why? Why would you do this for me? The dead did not speak, but the act of sacrificing oneself to save another person is known as love by man, regardless of what reasons may lie behind it. The same is preached within doctrine. Yeah. The same is preached within doctrine when speaking of the holy man who died on the cross to forgive mankind for their sins over 2,000 years ago. In which case, that final act and death of Tsunade Shogo were undeniable proof of the love he granted Carol, but at the same time it also meant eternal loss. A devastating scream surged out of Carol's throat. No, the depths of her soul. Shimon's joking prediction was right. It was impossible for Carol to feel happiness after being saved and granted a figment of love. To give an analogy, it was the thirst felt by desert sand after learning the sweet mercy of a moment's rain. Had that love never been granted to her, she would never have felt the intense pain of its loss. It was a wound which would never heal. Tsunade Shogo had used his life to prove his dedication and love, and the loss plunged Carol from the peak of the world. Her endless fall gave birth to an unprecedentedly enormous energy. The despair of the witch, Carol, which no amount of extreme gruesome torture could produce, was born with a terrifying scream at the price of love. The A corpse of two men lay on the floor in puddles of blood. A young woman clung to one, straining her voice as she wailed with madness. Amidst them all, a clear bell-like voice rang out. The young girl with rainbow-colored hair stood there amongst them unnoticed. The charming face of the nameless witch was glowing with joy at the recent fulfillment of her long-standing desire. Ah, it hurts. My heart is ready to burst with the despair born from us. Neither her figure nor her voice reached Carol at all. Only colorless darkness spread before the woman, sinking into despair, lamenting her survival and cursing her fate. The nameless witch gazed up to the heavens with an enraptured smile, her thin arms spread out as if to embrace everything. Her blissful, fulfilled smile was like that of the Holy Mother, her tiny body fading and losing its outlines. Her brilliant rainbow hair became light itself, disappearing like a shimmer of hot air. At the same time, in the abnormal abyss swirling in the heavens above Cantal's pandemonium, the rose girl crucified in that space was freed from all manner of pain and suffering. After collecting that final despair, the vessel was now full. The countless wounds carved into her body began to heal and close up, her severed limbs budding back as they regenerated. What in the world is going on now? It's a rose. Now, this world shall change. The crown of rosebuds and thorns wrapped around her head slowly began to blossom. Countless lights born from the rose-hued pollen of her crown rained down on every inch of the world from below, from the abyss above. Excuse me, every inch of the world below, from the abyss above. There we go. I'll bring everyone with me to our new world filled with love. It was the birth of a new god. Today, and from this day forth, the laws of the world were overwritten. Man, beast, bird, and all beings in creation were led to a way of life desired by their new god. The otherworldly rose light enveloped all of Kanto's pandemonium, all of the islands of Japan, and spreading further thereafter to the Pacific Ocean and all lands of Eurasia. Ultimately, it would wrap around the entire Earth, enveloping the whole planet. In parallel to that process, the abyss swirling in the sky above pandemonium began to slowly close. In its place, the rose woman clad in dazzling radiance, the lone true witch to survive the ages of barbarism and magic, descended upon the world. The new world's god, in the shape of a young girl, was triumphantly intoxicated on her euphoric omnipotence. At long last, she had completed her self-imposed trial as an almighty being. She engraved despair equal to the curses unleashed upon the world by Jesus on the hill of Golgotha and overcome it. After over 2,000 years, the curse was now dispelled, and thus the world changed overnight. All of humanity was plunged into a new age, dominated by the new principle of causality brought about by the Goddess of Mercy, a former witch, leaving behind only one girl's lament and despair. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Romans 13:12. Several decades, perhaps centuries, have passed since that day. At the very least, only a scant few remember the city of vice once called Kantau's Pandemonium. Hardly any knew that once tainted land was the origin of the events leading to the birth of their modern world. The world had changed. Dramatically so. On that day, mankind abandoned all conflict known since the dawn of history. Almost as if something that had been in their very genes and instincts for thousands of years was suddenly overwritten. Mankind cast aside all weapons and dismantled their armies. Freed from the fear and danger of neighbor killing neighbor, mankind built a path to mutual understanding. With endless altruism blooming in all their hearts, they respected one another's cultures, overcame language barriers, and eliminated the gap between rich and poor. The communism that once led to frustrating results to the tune of millions of victims was now easily implemented without any need for artificial social revolutions. Races, religion, sex, all sources of conflict and discrimination were eliminated, and war, crime, and starvation no longer existed in the world. So long as one loved another, they were guaranteed to receive kindness in return. There were no distinctions between others, so envy and friction never occurred. With the evolution of their mind, scholars proudly proclaimed mankind as Lord of all creation. Every corner of the world was filled with tolerance and merciful love. So much so that even one who disagreed with such love was allowed to exist. That one first appeared as a dark cloud suddenly spreading over the clear sky. The jet-black mass of clouds covered London, Paris, Moscow, Tokyo, and many of the world's metropolises at the same time on the exact same day. The tremendous worldwide scale of it was impossible for a natural phenomenon. The dark clouds bore within them the destructive energy of flashing thunder and raging gales. From man-made satellites observing it from the stratosphere, the outline of the phenomenon bore what looked like the shaky, unstable contours of a giant human being. With a single swing of sinister black arms, a city was destroyed and widespread disaster ensued. The beastly giant's legs crushed a mountain range and caused a tsunami that swallowed up many lives on the surface. Some said it rampaged with endless rage. Others said it had screamed with lament deeper than the oceans. Others still said the glowing pomegranate eyes, deeper than the thunderous roaring black clouds, gazed upon this world like hellish suns. Who in this new world could possibly know it was the ruined form of this world's sole surviving disastrous witch, the young girl once named Carol, a song of blessing? She rejected this world. She denied this world filled with love, because the love she sought was the only love absent from it. A love that was lost long ago in exchange for the birth of this world. Therefore, Carol became the sole foreign object, unable to blend into this world. As the final disaster's witch, she continued to rebel against this world of love, destroying and eroding it. Having abandoned all means of violence, mankind possessed no means of fighting the terrifying witch. Mankind could only pray with their whole heart and soul to the goddess who watched over their world like a mother and granted infinite love to all. The goddess answered their prayers, banishing the foreign entity encroaching upon her world. But since Carol was the single foundational point of her world, it was impossible for even the creator to completely destroy her. It was likely she would attack once more in another few decades or centuries, rebelling against this world of love that had been created. Once again, the world remained enveloped in love. Yet, oddly enough, the people who gazed up upon the mad lamentations of Carol felt more than just fear for her. It was easy for any of them to call her sight terrifying and say she was a devil or a witch, but for some reason they couldn't shake a nostalgic sentiment called forth from deep within them. It was an impossible emotion, an absurd thought. Could that mad figure spreading destruction and slaughter also be an aspect of love herself? The answer may never be reached for all eternity. Mankind is fulfilled and has no need to debate the meaning of love at this point. One day, Carol will once again return to this world. During that time alone, perhaps mankind will ask that unanswered question forgotten in the old world. What is love?
状況を開始する。準備はいいか？
And that's it, folks. That's the end of Maggot Bait. I think there's another ending, but I'm not sure. We'll see if there's another ending, but if this is the end, then this is the end. So we'll be doing another one. I have just the one, because we still have some dark stuff to do. I guess we might as well just break into that one then. It was something I was just going to introduce, but now it looks like it's something that's going to replace. You know, you never can tell when these are done. And this one's finished. We'll see if there's another ending and maybe some more text or maybe things change. But I'm kind of, like, I like the ending. I know it's bittersweet, but we'll see. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I'm out for Grimm's Hentai Corner with Maggot Bait.